Good morning, everyone. God bless you. Today we celebrate the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and our presider is Father Gregory Kirsch.
Grace and peace of God our Father, love of the Lord Jesus, and consolation of the Holy Spirit be with you. As we enter in today's mysteries, our readings once again re-invite us to examine a very familiar phrase, love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and your whole being, and your neighbor as yourself. And if repetition is the mother of learning, then today's readings invite us to deeply reflect even more with an understanding, what does it mean to love? Because there is so much vengeance and hate in our world, we are called to be different. It's not easy at times, because we have many influences in our world to allow us to seep into ways that are not rooted in the love of God. So as we gather today, let us examine what is broken in us. Where have we grown in love, and where have we yet to grow? And let us ask God's mercy and forgiveness. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase our faith, hope, and charity, and make us love what you command, so that we may merit what you promise, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depended on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
Our readings today, as I mentioned at the outset, are rather evocative when you think about the contemporary world in which we live, where there has been at times permission in our governmental world where those who are seen as aliens and immigrants are told they have no welcome in our land. And yet today we see from the book of Exodus, from our ancestors in faith, the people of Israel, the message is quite the opposite. It is a place of welcome, and reminding the people of Israel that at once you yourselves were aliens and you yourselves were emigrating or immigrating, and never forget that, and never in particular forget the widow and the child. And unfortunately, thousands of years later, we still forget this message as a human family outside of our own Christian faith, that the widow and the child are the most vulnerable in society in these situations, and more importantly, that immigrants and those who are in transition have an opportunity for a special place in our heart. And fortunately, many of our governments around the world have helped to certify, in a certain way, those who are in transition to ensure they are safe, because we don't want any culture, any people harmed because of some intended person who would like to be a terrorist. Those people certainly have a place not safe in society because they can harm us, right? And so we want a certain protection for them outside of the norm, that they need to be separated from the rest of us because we don't want anyone harmed. And they need to be put in a safe place. Often, if you have ever met a terrorist, I suspect you haven't, from the makeup as a clinician that I am trained, terrorists have a certain MO, that they come from a brokenness, separation from any type of healthy relationships in their lives. And so they are more than vulnerable and drawn into behaviors that are harmful since they don't, first of all, believe in themselves. And so this tragedy is a consequence of human lack of love. Where there is love, there is hope. Where there is hatred and rage and anger, there's less stability for the human family. And that's why I think our readings ever so today are an invitation to expand our understanding of what love is. During this time of the year, in my daily work, working with about 600 physicians and over 4,000 caregivers in the clinical service of patients in clinics in the neighborhood where you go see your doctor, hello. It's an honor that during this time of the year, I go and encourage them to tell stories of how they have demonstrated this love of patients, of family members, and of their caregiving team. Inevitably, I learn extraordinarily what they do every day. For instance, one caregiver shared in a sharing of a gathering that I was hosting in one of the clinics that they noticed a familiar patient walking in. He was in his mid-80s, young man. And as he walked in, the caregiver noticed that he didn't look his normal happy self, because normally when he walked in, he was kind of happy and saying hello to everyone, and his head was down and he wasn't looking up. And so when he arrived at the front desk to check in, she said to him, as she did with every patient, "Hi, my name is, how are you today? How may I help you?" He didn't say anything. And normally he would say, "Oh, I'm doing great, what's going on?" And so she said, "Is everything okay?" And he kind of, and she said, "Oh, well, I think I know your name." And so she said his name and he nodded. And she said, "Is there any change in your, you know, health or medicine that I should make a note of?" And he wasn't really kind of, you know, she said, "Are you able to talk?" "Yes, I can talk." And she proceeded with all the check-in like we all do when we see the doctor, right? And at the end, she said, "Is everything okay today for you?" And he looked her in the eyes and began to share what was on his mind. His wife died a month ago. She wasn't aware of that. And then what happened that morning when he got up and what happened on his way to the doctor's office, it was not a pretty day for him. And at the end of his sharing, she said, "Is there anything I can do to help you?" And he said, "You're the first person that asked how I'm doing today." And she said, "Well, I hope that's okay." And he said, "You've made my day." Never forget, each person we meet, wherever we are invited to reveal God's love in that moment. And for her, it was a part of her job, right? Her ministry is to welcome patients to the clinic to see the doctor. But where are we each day when we encounter people who are maybe struggling? And sometimes we see it and we don't want to see it, so we walk on and we ignore it. Or sometimes we see it and we're frightened because we know this person likes to talk and we don't have much time to talk. There are many circumstances that surround our freedom to love. So I invite all of us, as we gather in prayer today, our readings are to respond to the most vulnerable, the poor, the widow, the immigrant, in a loving way. And the challenge then becomes, if we are doing that, if we are loving as God invites us to love, then we are learning to love ourselves a little better. Because the command is the Shema: love the Lord God with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, with your whole being, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it's a good moment to check in. How are you loving yourself? And if you are loving yourself, then allow that love to be shared with the neighbor. It makes a world of difference. But if you're not loving yourself and you're being naughty to yourself, this is a wonderful moment to say, wait, I don't need to do that anymore. I can change. Especially when you think about our parents preparing for the baptism of their children here to my right, to your left in the church. You have a wonderful moment. You have a precious little one that you're going to share the gift of God's love. Those children will know God's love by the way you care for them, by the way you attend to their cries, and by the way you hold them in their mercy and hope. So we are here to support you as you journey with those precious little ones and you prepare for those moments. And that's why the church gives you sponsors, not because it's nice to be a sponsor, although it is fun to be a sponsor, isn't it? Fun to be a godparent, better than the Godfather movie, huh? But more importantly, we the church ask those sponsors to represent us so that when it is 2 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon and you're exhausted, the sponsors get to be another source of love and support to remind you that we're here for you. So my friends, as we gather today, let us pray that our understanding of love may grow, that we will be different because we're not afraid of the immigrant, of the stranger, of the widow, of the child, but because we are filled with God's love to help transform a world filled with rage and hate into a place of God's love. We are the prophets of today and tomorrow. Let us not be afraid to be that here and now for one another. Amen. Let us pray. May your sacraments, O Lord, we pray, perfect in us what lies within them, that what we now celebrate in signs, we may one day possess fully in truth through Christ our Lord. If it might be drizzling, please be careful because I know all of you are very sweet and we don't want any of you to dissolve, okay? So be careful, have a wonderful Sunday and a blessed weekend. Don't forget Halloween, whoops, and then November is All Saints Day. We celebrate all the saints who have blessed us, especially those we've known and touched our lives. So have a wonderful and safe week. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mass is ended. Go in the peace of Christ.
Thanks.